Hello, and welcome to Required Reading, the podcast that revisits the most impactful books from our childhood. I'm your host, Erin Bowles. I am a writer, actor, and comedian. And our guest today is Jillian Tsai. Jillian is a TV writer who worked on the series Haunted Hotel, streaming on Netflix on September 19th. Check it out. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We were connected because I put out a call on Instagram of I want to talk about the Warrior Cats books. And our mutual friend Brian Kratz, who wrote on Welcome to Flatch, which I was on, said, I've got the person for you. And here we are.
This is gonna not help my reputation with that group of people who think this is like my soul. My identity is this book.
Gosh.
It's
No, I
great.
love it. For those who are not familiar, the Warrior Cats books are a extremely lengthy series of books that came out starting in the aughts about feral cats in the woods and their complex social structure and violent struggles for land.
It sounds insane.
I was trying to explain this to coworkers who are a little bit older than me who had not heard about it, although I felt like this was everywhere. I felt like everyone when I was growing up knew Warrior Cats.
Oh, completely. Yeah.
And I could only describe it as like Game of Thrones for cats in your backyard in the woods.
Yeah, that's perfect. Just researching this for the podcast, like the references these authors made to like other literary works is so funny. Because they're like these big,
Oh.
like pretty heavy, like heavy books, and it's like a book about cats. It's so funny. Anyway.
I love it. So, what was your sort of story with this book? When did it come into your life? What was your experience with it as a kid?
Yeah, so I think it was our fourth grade teacher who would read books to us, and Warriors was one of the books she chose. She had great taste. So she was the
Wow.
one who introduced me to the books. She introduced my friends to the books, and then we devoured the whole series. I can't remember her name. I remember all the names of the cats and Warriors, but I do not remember the
Yeah.
human who introduced us to the cats. But yeah, it was around fourth grade, I think. It was the first book I read that felt like it was like my book. I had an older brother who was really into like Redwall and Brandon Sanderson stuff, and I was like, this cat book is mine, like this is my identity. So yeah, I remember it being very like formative in the sense that it was like the first series that I felt like was kind of my book.
Wow. Oh, I love that. I think I also read it around fourth grade. There's something about that age. Did you have cats growing up?
No, I was not. I was going to ask you if you were a cat girl because I feel like that's maybe the common question.
Yeah.
I was not a cat girl. Our family was really into rabbits, which is arguably weirder, but yeah, we were not cat people at all. I mean, I was definitely like more interested in cats after reading this book, but it was definitely not like an obsession I had had before or anything like that. What about you?
Oh, I grew up in a big cat family. We had a rule that stopped being valid later on, but we had a rule that like you couldn't have more cats than people in the house. But then at one point, we had a cat who was older than me, who was like very important to my parents, and she died, and my mom was like, we need to replace her. So that's gone out the window. But yeah, I have two cats here. I was setting up earlier and one kept hanging out right here behind me, and I hoped he was gonna stay. But very much cat people. We have in my family, there are like three genres of artwork on the walls, and I didn't notice this until fairly recently. And it's cats, airplanes, because my dad is a pilot in his spare time, and Russia stuff, because my mom studied Russian political science in
My God. In
college.
this family, we have three interests. Here they are.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah.
Did this book make you even more into cats, or,
Well, I'm glad you brought this up because I had very, as a cat owner, and I wonder if other people had this too, I had very complicated feelings about this book because the main character, first off, has three different names through the course of the book. He starts off as a house pet. He leaves to go feral and join these cats in the woods. And a lot of the book is like, living as a house cat sucks. That life is terrible. And that definitely led into then. And like there were even little pangs of it now of like, oh, am I doing my cats a disservice? Am I forcing them to eat kibble and not there? There
Really?
were really incredible descriptions of the juiciness of eating mice in
I
this
know, it made
book.
me want to eat a mouse. I, like, I had the exact same thought when I reread this. I was like, this is kind of an anti-animal domestication book. Like, argument can be made that, like, people should not own animals. But I think
Yeah,
the book comes on a little strong about that.
definitely. And sort of like the central conflict in this book, there are four clans competing for space in this forest. And there's definitely elements of like suburbia is encroaching, that we're losing space, like a big road plays a big part in the book. But the central problem is that there are limited resources and that there is not enough food to go around. And obviously the cats they're aware of being neutered. They know like you go to the vet and you come back changed. So our Fire Paw, our main character, doesn't want that to happen. The other cats in the neighborhood get like fat and lazy afterwards. But the whole time I was like, neutering cats prevents the overpopulation problem, which drives this whole conflict in the
It's a very good point.
book. So I was very conflicted.
That's really funny. It is funny that it's like the classic, like, oh, what's your character's push into the call? It's
Yeah.
like being neutered.
And like obviously he doesn't know that it's like about sexual reproduction. There's no
No.
concept of that, but there is that like looming, I'm gonna get the cut and it's kind of
Yeah,
different.
I'm gonna accept the journey because I don't want to be, snip
There
sniffed.
exactly. This book is so intense. And like life or death, violent struggles. It's understanding why it is so appealing to kids.
It is very much like baby's first epic adventure kind of book. Like, I was shocked at how violent it was and how much real world shit is in there. Like, there's a lot of, like, not to say it's like a political book. It's not, it's like really shallow, but there's a lot of like pretty heavy, like
Yeah.
real world stuff in there. And like, there was so much that I just like ended up making a list like as I read, just because I was like,
Yeah.
I don't remember it being this dense with all this stuff.
It's not political in terms of necessarily like human politics, but there's like complex social workings here.
So
And
complex.
there's bet yeah, there's betrayal and there's different there are these four clans and the Shadow Clan has a leader that nobody likes, but he's surrounded by powerful warriors. And the crazy thing about this is the social complexity of each clan. And there's like naming conventions that come into it. I remember websites that were like, find your warrior cat
Oh my
name.
gosh. Oh, we should do
I
that
know. Yes, add that to the list.
Yeah, I completely agree. The social complexities were really impressive. It's also like the perfect amount of world building for the age group it's
Absolutely.
targeting. Like, it's just enough complexity. It's not like, like weighed down by like world building rules and stuff. It's just perfect. Like, the naming convention, it's so easy. And like, I remember that very well of like, when you're an apprentice, you have a paw at the end of your name. When you're a warrior, you get something cool like heart or stripe. And then when you're a leader, you're
Yeah.
so, oh, like that structure made me so happy as a kid.
Yeah, and there's always a medicine cat, and there's a surprising amount of deaths in this book. It kicks off with the death of a character that's important at the clan that we don't know. And then the medicine cat, who our main character has a crush on, dies. The like main deputy dies. We find out the other deputy is a backstabber and a betrayer, and he's trying to get one of the apprentices blamed and killed for a crime he committed. It's stressful.
It's so juicy. It's so good. It is Game of Thrones.
Juicy.
Like, that's a very good comp. I didn't think of that. Yeah, it's also like, it's so funny, like like that the main villain of the book like
Yes.
basically goes apeshit because someone else is promoted over him, which I thought was very funny. Like,
Yes, very Othello,
it's so,
which you refer I did a little research about Erin Hunter, which we'll have to dive into, the
Oh my gosh,
author.
yeah.
But they talk about those sort of like literary references you
The
found because
references
there's,
killed me.
yeah.
Like you said, it felt like Shakespeare, big reference. Okay, yeah, Shakespeare, Tolkien, I think like Little Women.
Where is that? That's interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's very funny to be like, here's this book I wrote about cats. It's inspired by Homer and Dickens and Anne Frank. It's so funny to read their inspirations, but then you reread the book and you're like, yeah, this is Homerian. Like, there is Lord of the Rings aspects in this. So it's like, it is very funny to reference these like pretty pretentious books and then be like, yeah, there are components
I
of
get
that.
it.
It's a good
Yeah.
book. They also
And I
reference
liked,
Rambo.
yeah. Oh my God.
Another inspiration was apparently the series Rambo, which was so funny.
I like what you said about like this is a very great entry point into something like Tolkien and Lord of the Rings because it's dealing with all of those themes in such, I mean, it's hard to be like more accessible than this book in turn even, you know, as crazy as it sounds, in terms of, you know, the violence and stuff of just like, yeah, go into your backyard. This could be your cat. I wanted to talk about play because this I feel like it's almost like a joke of how easily this book inspires like playground game and sort of self-insertion. Did you do any of that? I know we were both fourth grade.
If you're asking if I was a furry, I was not.
No, never,
But it
never.
did inspire role-playing games. Yes, like I don't remember if we like me and my friend group, obviously there were a couple of us who really enjoyed the series, and I don't know if we ever went as far as to be like, I'm fertile or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it was we had other games that were role-playing games, and it
Yeah.
definitely some of the structure of Warriors informed those games.
Yeah.
We had it like we I remember we had a game like called Witches where we would all play a witch, and but the naming
It's always
conventions are really
wishes,
it's always
yes.
witches, yes, but the naming conventions we borrowed from Warriors. And
Yeah.
you know, like all the herbal stuff that the medicine cats would do, we borrowed that. It was very informative of this kind of play that we got up to as fourth graders.
I had forgotten the detail, and then as soon as I read it in this, I was like, oh yes, of the medicine cats instead of like band-aids, obviously use spider webs and
Yes.
cobwebs. Yeah, that was such a vivid, that really stuck with me.
I think it is pretty real. When I was doing
Yeah.
research, they referenced a physician, an English physician's medicine book about like natural healing remedies. So I think it might be
Yeah.
all true.
That makes sense. That actually, yeah, I kind of
Yeah,
get
yeah.
it.
Get the catnip.
Yes. Did you read the whole series or any of the additional books? Because there are, I think, at least 60.
I know. I was reading. It's a huge IP. Like, it's like I was looking at it, it was like books, 15 super editions, like 15 graphic novels. Like, there's so much. I think I only read what's is this The Prophecy?
I think so. This
Yeah.
initial.
Yeah, I've only read that one. I think I fell off with kind of one of the extended ones and I was too old and I was like, I can't do this anymore. But
Yeah.
I devoured this series, which like Into the Wild, Fire and Ice, like all those ones. So I did not read anything, I think, past whatever the second series was. How
Yeah.
about you?
Yeah, I think I just read the first maybe three or four. I don't think I got through the whole original six. But like anytime I'm in a Goodwill, I will find not one of the original Warriors, but one of the extended versions where there's like a polar bear on the cover.
That's not a
And
cat.
I kind of want to read it. I kind of want to know what this polar bear is up to. But there are these like elements of environmentalism that kind of come into it that are really interesting and striking.
Definitely. Yeah. Also, like back to your point about like the covers, that's one thing I remember the most is every cover, whoever I don't know who did the art, but the covers like were a pretty epic. Like the little
Yes.
square with like your main character who's featured in the book, and then your kind of bigger cover art of like whatever big battle. It's like they're so beautiful.
They really capture that intensity. You really know what you're getting into from those really, yeah, epic covers.
Yeah,
I
they're
loved it.
fantastic. Rereading this, it's like I was maybe a little worried that I would reread it and be like, oh, this is a little stupid. Like, I'm gonna have to come on a podcast and defend my taste as an 8-year-old.
Yes.
But I reread it and I was like, it's so good. Like, it really holds up. I reread book one for your podcast. I reread book two for myself, and I'm probably gonna read three.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, they're
Yeah,
so good.
I was sort of, I read it on an ebook. And so I had the little in the corner of like 50% of the way through,
Yes,
75% of the way
me
through, and how
too.
like exactly the big turning points happen at 50%,
Oh, yeah.
70%, or 75%. It was very striking and well structured.
Structurally very sound. I also read on Reddit a theory that these books were written by AI, which is so funny. Like, it's like the
It's
poster.
2003.
I know. The poster was like, I think this was like early AI testing because there's way too many of these books and like they're way too formulaic.
But I want to talk about Erin Hunter, because
Yes.
Erin Hunter is not a real person. And of course my name is Erin, and so I was like, we gotta read that. I wonder if like my mom picked this book out for me, because big cat person, or I might have just seen it in the library or something. I did not have a teacher read it to me. And for some reason that's like so charming that the teacher was
It's
like, I'm
really
gonna read
charming.
Warrior Cats.
I can see how you would fall into it if you have a cat predisposition. Your name's Aaron. You're
Exactly.
like, this is my book.
You gotta do it. So HarperCollins reaches out to a writer named Victoria Holmes in 2003, and I think all of their authors are British, and says, we want a fantasy series about feral cats. And she goes, well, I love cats, but I'm not really into fantasy. So she writes the storyline and then hands it over to an author named Kate Carey. And there are like seven main authors in this series, but I think at the beginning, the first couple ones, including this one, is just Holmes and Carey. And they choose the name Erin Hunter because Erin Holmes liked the name. And it was, quote, wasn't particularly girly.
Yep, gotta
No.
get those guys reading the book.
Exactly. And Hunter, I think they were like batting around names and they wanted an H because it would be close to something you referenced, Redwall by Brian Jakes, which we did on this podcast a while ago, and is about mice and their high fantasy living. But also we're like batting around H names and Hunter. It's perfect for our cats.
So I'm getting so they partially decided on the age to get it close to another popular YA book series, like on the
I
shelf.
think so.
That's very
Yeah. So that
interesting.
you're looking at Redwall and you're like, oh, right over there. Maybe I'll try
That's
that out
so
too.
funny. That's very smart.
Genius. And so I think the way this series works is that Holmes had this sort of overarching narrative structure, and each book would kind of be assigned to a different writer, and then Holmes would come in and sort of edit and maintain the voice and make sure that there's no continuity errors between, what Graystripe is up to here versus there. But what do you remember knowing about Erin Hunter as a kid?
Reading to prep for this, like that was completely new information to me.
Really?
I thought Erin Hunter was just like very coincidentally named in a great way that like was fitting for the book. I did not know that behind Erin Hunter there were like 20 other people. So that was
There are
like
so
kind
many
of
authors,
shocking for me. But it's good because I think they needed a pseudonym, because if they didn't have one, I would have been like cutting down rainforests because how much fan mail I would be sending one woman. Yeah, so that was, I also have no idea they were British writers. I guess it makes sense
No.
now, but in my head it was always set in an American forest with American characters. So yeah, I didn't have British accents for any of the cats in my head.
No. You say that now, and I'm like, absolutely not. I think I very vaguely knew that there was like more than one author, but absolutely not to that scale. And I love it because it almost feels like a TV show in some sort of way of like doling it out. And I love the idea that it is kind of a factory and that it is a little formulaic and we're
It is.
cranking
They
them
churn
out.
them out. It makes
Yes.
sense. Like, how did Erin Hunter like write 40 books in like 2 years? Like, it's impossible. I mean, I think it works well. Like, it sounds like there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but like, it's so seen, like you said, it's very TV, like every writer gets an episode type thing. So I think it worked well for that series. In terms of what I remember, like, I remember like 90% of this book. And like, I'm not saying 100,
Yeah.
that would be embarrassing. I remember a lot of it. Just because I think it's one of those, it hit you at the right time when you were a kid, like your brain was developing and it just like took everything from the book. So I remember a lot. I remember mostly the characters, which is a testament to how well written they were, that they
Yeah.
linger with you. Like I remember Blue Star being this like matriarch queen cat, and I remember, you know, Tiger Claw being this dictator asshole. And so that all the characters definitely taking up space in my brain still. And yeah, I remember the interpersonal issues. I remember like all the clan dynamics. I think I was a little bit hazy on some of the like the smaller storylines. Like I completely forgot about Yellowtail, that whole bit.
Yellow Fang,
Yellowfang,
yeah.
yeah, sorry. And yeah, so there are some
I'm
gaps, but
sorry.
like actually
Yeah.
but yeah, a lot of it's still in there, but I the battles stick out, the characters stick out. Yeah, anyway, I could go on. This book's incredible.
Oh, I love that. It's a very interesting book in how it kind of allows children to reconsider adults in their life and mentor figures because Yellow Fang is all of our characters are in the Thunder Clan. Shadow Clan is kind of the bad clan. They're the ones that are encroaching and Yellow Fang is the Shadow Clan's medicine cat. There's moments where you're like hearing yourself say all of this and you're like, what
I
am I
know.
doing?
It's okay. I'm with you. I'm with you at every word.
And she is cast out of Shadow Clan, and Firepaw finds her when he's, out patrolling as an apprentice and brings her back to Thunder Clan because she's wounded and everyone doesn't want her there. And she gets a redemption arc throughout the book. And I loved the mentor relationship with Blue Star, who is the leader of Thunder Clan, and really wanting that validation, really wanting an adult to say, like, you are special and you do have something. And I loved that adults can be bad guys and can be untrustworthy, like Tiger Claw, and that bad guys like Yellow Fang can be good guys and can that not everything is as it seems and that you have to sort of give someone a chance in order to be redeemed. A lot of complexity. I loved it.
It's, yeah, I love how you broke that down too, because it's like it's so true. Everyone deserves a shot, like when you perceive someone. And that's a very adult theme of like
Yeah.
circumstances or like things may not be what they appear. Like it's a great lesson for a kid.
Yeah. Was there any that really kind of surprised you?
I mean, yeah, I think we touched on it before, but the surprising thing was how much like adult stuff there was in there. It's a dumb YA book, like it's surface level. But like, you know, issues of like, for instance, racism. Like our main character, Firepaw, like he's a house cat. He is treated very badly by the feral cats who are very racist and very mean. And like that's like kind of a bigger subject, I guess. And then like territory disputes, like cats invading other cats' territory, that's like a very real topical issue of like, you know,
Definitely.
resources. There's so many little details too that's like just really cracked me up on the reread, like the warrior code that like, you know, this
Yes.
called like the so-called like ethical code that these cats all like abide by. Like that's the Geneva Convention. It's like so funny. Like these little tiny like big things that they've like distilled
Yeah.
into kids' book is so funny. Religion, I feel like we could talk a whole episode about the religion of
Yes.
these cats. That surprised me. I remember it, but I was like, oh, this is like very good world building. You know,
Yeah.
if you're a cat and you die, you go to this cat heaven. That's another like clan in cat heaven. You can take a dream form and like guide the living cats. Like that's crazy.
Yeah, and like there's cats in the constellations, and when you become there's like rituals around when you become a warrior and when you become a clan leader and when the clan leader needs insights from the spirit realm, you go to a special place and you stay all awake all night under the moonlight and you can't eat
Yeah.
beforehand.
These
It's
cats are
all
like
very, yeah.
spiritually deep cats. They go on religious pilgrimages. It's so funny. And I
Yes,
do love,
the
I think it's just good writing. Like, yeah, if you're a leader, you have nine lives. That's just like solid writing.
Yes. And it I like it again because it's like that's a thing that you as a kid probably know about cats. You know that
Yes.
people say that. So let's put it in somewhere. And I think it's also very rewarding to everything is obviously rooted in cat perspective. So there's a big road with cars in it, but they're big monsters and it's the Thunder Road. And there's such a rewarding thing as a kid to be like, that's a road, that's a
Totally.
car, and to get it
Yes.
yourself.
It's such smart adult writing to be like, I'm going to give this kid like a silly little puzzle that'll give them like a hit of dopamine when they figure out what I'm talking about. It's like, it's great.
Yes, these books are a great way to get kids into reading, just in general.
Totally.
Absolutely,
Yeah. That
absolutely.
was like when I was a kid, I was the type who had a lot of trouble sitting still. Like it was kind of excruciating to like sit in a chair like for hours and hours in school, and like this book though like got my butt in a chair. Like that's how engrossing it was when I was younger. Like this is the book that calmed me down. Like so yeah, it's just so well written with such like a target audience in mind that felt very successful to me.
Oh, I love that. Is there anything that you think you know you wanted to talk about that we haven't covered? I know you said you had a list, which I want to hear so
Yeah.
much about.
The list was mostly just me being like, this book was published in 2003 and is about a lot of territory disputes. We invaded Iraq in 2003. Coincidence?
We did. Let me pull up actually my list of 2003. MySpace launches. Schwarzenegger becomes California governor in a recall election. Martha Stewart indicted for insider trading.
This is a big year.
Yes. U.S. invades Iraq. Department of Homeland Security opens. The iTunes store launches. And then some movies that year: Holes, Finding
Oh, I love
Nemo,
Holes. Yeah.
Pirates of the Caribbean, and Elf. Big
Pirates of the
year.
Caribbean, when we're talking about like content when you were younger that like gave
Oh
you
my
brain rot
God.
and like messed you up, for me, it's like Pirates of the Caribbean, Warriors, probably Spirited Away, there's a bunch of other stuff, but things that like you just like could not get out of your head.
Oh my goodness.
That was
Yeah.
a good year.
Even just like seeing that in my research last night, I was like, God damn, I need to rewatch that movie.
Yeah, I rewatched it recently, maybe like last
Yeah.
year, and I was like, it's fantastic.
And this I only mentioned because I was literally talking about this with a coworker the other day. That year the Oscars were hosted by Steve Martin. And I was like, we just don't have Oscar hosts like we used to. Get Steve Martin up there. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like very interesting to me. Like, I feel like I just like books don't hit anymore like they used to. Like, you know, when in eighth grade, like an 8-year-old, and you read something, like reality just like is shattered. Like you have no idea what's like real, what's, you know, what's fake. It's just like I can't read books like that anymore. I'm like too busy thinking about other
No.
stuff. But you fall so deeply into them when you're younger. I think that's why this book was so great. Like it was just, you know, it hit that time when you can just absorb everything.
Absolutely. You mentioned we should come up with our own warrior names. Do you have any ideas for yourself? It's always like
Oh
a physical attribute plus
gosh.
something bass.
Yeah, I would probably be like nearsighted paw or something.
I'm something about how short I am, little something.
Is pretty savage if like you're like, you know, okay, I'm gonna get
Yes.
my cat name. And what if they just are like really mean with the name? Like it can go both ways. It
Yeah.
can be like Fireheart, which is a fantastic name. Or you can be
So
like running
good.
nose because you have allergies. Like both ways.
It's like a repeated joke of like, and running nose is the medicine cat.
Yeah. The book
Yeah.
is
Yeah,
funny. Like
there's
I was laughing. There are a lot of very funny.
absolutely.
Gray Stripe is very funny. Like in terms of comedic
Yeah.
best friend, like very fun. I was gonna ask
Yeah.
you. We can come up
Yeah.
with names. But I was gonna ask you what cat you think you are in this series.
Oh. Ooh. I think I definitely like wanted to be Spotted Leaf, who's the medicine
Oh,
cat.
I wrote that down too.
Yeah, she has all this knowledge. She is like a very special, important job within the community, and the main character has a crush on her. So she's like very idealized, and I love the name, Spotted Leaf.
Okay, I wrote that down too, but for like a worse reason, which is like she's hot and then she dies and then she's remembered for being hot, which is like the dream.
That is her main character trait, is that she's hot and she smells good.
She just has like really beautiful pelt.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, and I mad respect for Blue Star. What a great leader and
Yeah,
character.
I would love if someone was like, you're a blue star, but she's too wise. She's too girl boss. Like, it's not me. No, it's not me.
You're so even tempered and so able to be like, no, that was the right choice, and we have to
Yes.
watch out, and we have to be, yeah, she's so great. And I love that it's a lady who's the leader. It's I love it.
Yeah, there was something relatable as a kid to me about Ravenpaw, like just because like very stressed out, like hates confrontation, any type of dispute, like boom is out of there. So like I wouldn't say I'm a Ravenpaw, but I think there are maybe like facets that are Ravenpaw,
Oh
and
yeah.
then I think true answer is probably I'm a bit of a Graypaw, like infinite positivity, like tries to keep things light, doesn't feel good when people don't feel welcomed, like is not a racist.
Yeah.
Like I think I identify with
Yeah.
that the most.
It was such a like a Charlie Brown moment of there's a fight later in the book where they're fighting all these rats, which was so intense. And it's also like you're thinking about it and you're like, I didn't think rats would be a threat to cats. But I guess so. But Ravenpaw like falls in a ditch and spends the whole fight trying to like get out, and it's
I
so
know
sad.
it's
And
a very pathetic moment for
they made
Ravenpaw.
fun of him for it, yeah.
The book is so good because it's also like, you know, he ends up leaving the clan and it's okay. So you have like, it's kind of like makes a nice statement about like community and society of like, it's great to have a community. Like, it's great to like become part of a community. But if it's not your thing, you can also go be a loner and that's totally fine. Like, Ravenpaw is
Yeah.
that, like the inverse kind of a Firepaw, like gets really stressed out in this clan structure. Like, it's not really for him and he leaves it and that's like totally okay for him. There's just kind
Yeah.
of a nice detail of like someone's coming in, someone's going out.
Yeah. Like a nice narrative symmetry. And I think
Yes.
there's also, by the end, it's not explicit, but I think there's a little bit of appreciation of like, oh, there are upsides to being a house cat. I'm afraid for my life. And I wasn't when I was a house
You're like,
cat.
it's okay to own cats.
Yes. It's okay. Yeah, there's like cat owner guilt reading some of the early versions of this.
Oh yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it's tough. Yeah,
But then
it.
you're so gripped, you don't care. You're so into it.
Yeah, I had another question for you, which was
Yeah.
if you were a house cat and you had this opportunity to like ditch your comfy cozy life, would you accept the call?
No, I
No.
love no. I maybe for like a week, but no, I'm like such a little scaredy cat. But also just like it's like comfy. I don't have to hunt for my own food. I don't have to go hungry. I'm
There's no
safe.
TikTok out in the forest.
One of my cats used to be a stray. We lived in South LA and we had a big yard, and he just came into the yard and like never left. And when we moved to mid-city, we were like, we can't just leave him. We have to bring him with us. And we let him go into like our little back cement area once or twice, and he came in covered in fleas. Had
Oh
never
gosh.
been a problem before.
Oh man.
And at the I've always been like, it is the right choice to have a cat be indoor only. It's just like they're safer, they're gonna live longer, they're not gonna get disease. I'm very like pro neuter your cats. And so at this point, I'm just like, he's not gonna be an outdoor cat because the summer we had fleas was horrific.
Oh
I'm not
man.
doing that ever again.
Yeah, that's, I think that would persuade me as well that what I was doing was
Yeah.
totally good for the
Same.
cat and myself.
So, would you accept the call of the wild?
I really don't know. I think maybe I would. Well, oh God, I don't know. I can dish the question, but I can't take it. I really don't. Yeah, I think part of me would just because it's exciting and I think I was a bit of a
Yeah.
exciting junkie as a kid. Excitement
I get that.
junkie. So
I
yeah,
get
I
that a
think
lot.
maybe I would.
Nice. Oof.
It was so
Yeah.
fun to just talk about something that I haven't revisited in like 2 decades. It was a very nostalgic read for me, like
Oh my gosh.
completely brought me back. I don't know about you, but I remember when I read this. I remember the vibe of like fourth grade. I remember like all these little details about that year of my life, but it was good.
Yeah. It's the naming conventions that's going to stick with me the most. I just
Oh
love
yeah.
that.
We have to figure out ours. Ooh.
Yes. I have these like kind of super blonde streaks in my hair right around my face that I've just
Okay.
always had. So maybe it'd be like Bright Stripe, but I feel like there's a
Oh, I love
character
that.
named Bright Stripe. Am I
Right.
retconning that? And
Oh
maybe in
God,
like
there's
a
so many
different
words.
clan? I know.
Right? I feel like, is there a bright star? That maybe is too on the nose for
Oh, that might
me.
be like the past Shadow Clan leader, or maybe the
Oh, maybe,
current
yeah.
one.
Bright Stripe is really great. I love that for you.
Thank you.
And
What about you?
you would be a warrior or a medicine cat, or would you
Oh,
be
I
an
think I would
amateur?
want to be a medicine cat. I think I would want to be a medicine cat. And I definitely don't have what it takes to be a leader. That's too stressful.
Yeah, I'll take the nine
What about
lives.
you? Yeah.
Oh gosh. It has to be like not super flattering, but also not super disparaging. So I don't
Yeah.
know.
I don't know. There's some where it's like, it's not like disparaging, but it's just not cool. Like there's one that's just like
Yeah.
long tail. You have to imagine like the naming ceremony and they're like, I don't know, long tail.
Long tail, yeah. Like he's got no personality except for his tail. We'll just highlight
Yeah.
that. There's some great, like Sandstorm. She gets named
Yes.
Sandstorm. Like, that's a fantastic cat name. When I was younger, I was pretty fast. Like I could run.
Oh,
But
yeah.
maybe quick is in the word.
Or like
Quicksilver is
running.
already taken.
Heck. Oh, maybe like because you have dark hair, maybe like Quick Shadow.
I love that. All right, quick. That's great.
It's so fun.
And what clan would you be in?
Oh, I feel like we don't get a lot of like viewpoints into the other ones, but I love a body of water, so I might do River Clan. What about
River Clan.
you?
Think River Clan also, to be
Yeah.
honest. Thunder Clan seems to like I'm a Gryffindor,
Yeah.
like
It
Shadow
is
Clan.
so into those four.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, probably River Clan, because that feels like a safe. I'm a Ravenclaw, you know, that type of thing. Shadow Clan, maybe, but I think just too much controversy.
At the end, they're sort of like Shadow Clan's gonna reform. We got the bad guy out who was at the top. Yeah, it was sort of like a military dictatorship or something. Like killed his
Totally.
father and took control and surrounded him with powerful warriors. They've got it all in there.
Yeah, it's the impressive thing to me, like from the writing end, is like very dense but so accessible. Like dense but
Yeah.
very, it's just enough like social dynamics and like complexity. That's like the impressive thing to me.
Absolutely, I agree. Would you consider it required reading?
Oh, honestly, yeah, I would. Yeah, like force everyone to read this. It's great.
Yeah, I think it's fun, it's quick, and it is like a cultural moment, I feel like.
Also, I think is the point you made. If it's like, if the point is to get kids like butts in chairs reading books, like this qualifies for sure.
Hell
Like it
yeah.
might not be like the deepest thing you've ever read, but no, it is deep. Like whatever, it is
It
deep, a
is
deep
deep. Yeah.
book.
And it's definitely like a gateway drug. Yeah, absolutely. In a good way.
Yeah, no, if you want to like a taste of epics or, you know, those kind of like big complicated war books, like
Yeah.
this is a great starting point.
Yeah. And having read Redwall in like January, I think this is way more accessible. Redwall is dense in a bad way. A lot of description.
Right. I like tried Redwall when I was younger, and that was exactly my hurdle with it, was like
Yeah.
it's a bit too much for me. And I don't know if I was too young when I tried, or like maybe it just wasn't my thing. But is it like kind of Warriors, but a little bit like kind of like a step up?
Sort of. It's like the plot is definitely, I think, clunkier and it moves slower and it doesn't have like the violence and the intensity that this one has. And this is interesting because I did some research about that author, Brian Jakes, and he, I think, grew up during the Blitz in London and so like was on rations. And so there's so much of the book that's like, this food is delicious. Let me tell you about this cheese. A lot of time gets spent on the
That's
food.
how I feel about Lord of the Rings. It's like every other chapter is like this big, cheesy, bready beer feast.
Oh, yeah, there's
Yeah.
a Redwall cookbook out there that
Very
of course
cute.
there is. Of course there is. Yeah.
That's so funny when it's like author who came from wartime spends 80% of book talking about food.
Yeah.
Also, like the pacing, like it's not a slow book, like goes at a
No.
very good clip. And that I felt is maybe a bit unusual for early 2000s, where things maybe you'd expect are a bit slower because no one's like chronically online and like swiping and stuff. So
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting that I was like, oh, this is kind of a quick book, which maybe is like more of a 2025 thing you see
Yeah.
in content where things go quickly. But
Yeah,
I don't know.
something interesting about this and Pirates of the Caribbean coming out in the same year that I feel like there was, I just feel like there was more like adventure content in the aughts that I really am craving. Yeah.
Yeah, I miss it too. I know exactly what you mean. Like, not to be like stuff these like content
Yeah.
that like has too much meaning and like too woke or whatever. But like it is true, like sometimes like there is, I think, maybe a bit of a hole of like sometimes you green light a movie based off of an amusement park ride and that's all you need.
Yeah.
Like, I think people maybe think really hard about what they're
Yeah.
making now, whereas like no one's just gonna be like, I wrote a stupid cat book, here you go, publish.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that it was not her idea that HarperCollins was like, you know what we need as a strategic move? We need a book about feral cats.
Yeah, when the cat lady like rises too high at the publishing company is what happened. She nailed it though. What I didn't look up is like how much this IP is worth, which I would be curious
Oh
to.
yeah.
Was it just us reading this?
I don't know. I feel like this book got like passed around maybe. I was describing this to a coworker who had never heard of it. Why isn't there a TV show of this? And I agree. There's a lot of IP here.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe the IP has not been purchased yet for TV series. Good to know.
Good to know. Make some emails.
Last question. Did you read this with your friends, or was it just kind of your own? Did you know other people when you were younger who were reading this?
Yes, definitely. Which has been interesting that I feel like maybe it's just because I'm not like asking people my age. But yeah, I feel like it's not. I feel like I remember like people on Tumblr joking about it in the 2010s. So I don't know. Maybe people are just being secretive about it and just won't admit
Oh yeah, I think there are a lot of closeted
it.
Warriors readers out there, and we just are courageous enough to share it.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Well,
You can
thank
come
you
out now.
so much for doing this. Yes, be brave. It's
It's
legal now. Come out of the
legal
closet.
now. Oh my God. Yeah, it was a lot of fun to revisit this book and, talk to a fellow fan. It like scratched an itch I did not know I had.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, is there anything you'd like to plug? I know you've got a show coming out super soon.
Yeah, Haunted Hotel, which is coming out, oh gosh, the 19th. It'll be on Netflix and everyone is very excited for it. The people who worked on it were amazing and, it was
I'm so
a
excited.
really wonderful experience. So
Yay! Okay, well, if you feel good, I'm gonna turn off the recording.
okay, sounds good.